Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. Genesis chapter 49, and I want to begin reading with verse 22. Jacob is dying. He's the old man. He has 10 sons and two grandsons. And in verse 22, after he goes through all this chapter is a dying man blessing his children on his deathbed before he leaves. He puts a prophetic blessing over each of those children. There must be something to the blessing of the parents. I guess if I were Satan, I'd do everything I could to sever the connection if you have godly parents in your life, because there is a blessing that can be imparted, a generational heritage and inheritance spiritually. If you know that's true, say amen. I know it's been true in my life. And really, you know, what my parents and Sharice's parents gave, and then even beyond that, it is transferred. And this scripture, especially this whole chapter, is very, 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 very powerful. And these prophecies all, what is strange, I should do a teaching on it sometime. They all came to pass in remarkable ways. And I'm going to show you now in Genesis 49 in verse 22. Joseph, he gets to his son Joseph. You will be a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches, that word bough is garden. You'll be like a garden by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, hated on him, we would say. But his bow remained in strength. Verse 25, by the God of your father, and I could keep reading all of these verses that I just skipped are blessings the father's putting on his son as he's dying. The father's an old man, he's dying, and he's imparting spiritual blessings to his boy Joseph. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. In other words, your children. The blessings, he said, of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost. Listen to this. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and the crown of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. Little reference there as to what he went through, how he was separated from his brothers, went down into Egypt, was given a raw deal, but he notice that he says something. He says, Joseph, because you didn't get bitter, because you found a well, and you will receive a double portion because he decided to bless others. He didn't hoard the blessing to himself. He abundantly gave of what he had to others. Who did he give to? He gave to his brothers. He gave to Egyptians. He gave to Pharaoh. He gave to those, even Potiphar's wife and husband who had falsely accused him. He gave them life. He ultimately, had he not done what he did, they would have died because there was a famine and all of those people would have died. And now the father is saying, because you extended the blessing. Listen to these words and put it back up. He said, because you extended and reached beyond the walls. So important to see that. You reached beyond the walls. Beyond the walls of confinement. Beyond the walls of where you are. You had something in you, and he said, because you went beyond the walls, God will bless you double on the home front. Jacob, because you were willing to not just find the well and receive from the well and become a, a blessed place and a blessed person, and you could have just soaked in all of those blessings when you became in that powerful position that you came in. But because you saw people who were beyond the walls of your blessing, you saw people who couldn't offer you anything. Really, they didn't deserve your help, but you reached a branch out beyond the walls. God said, I saw it. And now through his father, he says, you will have two tribes. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but when we talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, just lean in and learn something about the Bible. You're supposed to learn something about the Bible, not just be entertained by a preacher. See, Jacob only had 10 sons, and yet there's 12 tribes of Israel. Have you ever wondered, where did the other two come from? He only had 10 boys. He only had 10. But what happened was, in this verse, Jacob, the old man, said, I'm adopting your two sons. I know they're my grandsons, but I'm giving them the share of a son. Because of what you went through, and because you went beyond these walls and you begin to bless the very people that you should have put walls up against, you went beyond these walls. He said, I'm going to bless, and I'm going to add not 10 tribes, but I'm going to have 12 tribes, and two of those tribes will be your two boys, Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. And there's 12 tribes of Israel, and will always be. And on the walls of the foundations of the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem, the names of those 12 are on there along with the 12 disciples, and two of those names will be Manasseh and Ephraim forever. Why? Because, Joseph, you found a well. We know that well was Jesus Christ. We know that well represents the living water. We know that well represents Acts 2:38. Where he said, for this promise is unto you and unto your children, to them that are afar off, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He found a well that watered his soul, watered his life, but he didn't hoard it. He didn't keep it to himself. He put branches that ran over the wall, the Bible said. God saw it spiritually, and he said, because you've done that, there's a greater blessing coming on you than the other boys. Now, if you read about the other boys, they usually got one verse of blessing. Judah was the runner-up. Judah means praise, which ought to tell you something. If you're sitting there quiet, you're missing some blessings, because he got 2.5 verses of blessing, but Joseph got 5 verses of blessing. And he tells why. Because you went beyond the walls. Because you decided to go for it. You found a well, but you didn't keep it inside the walls. Instead of keeping the well inside. Come on, folks, I'm preaching about what happened to you when you found the well named Jesus Christ. Did he really make a change in your life? Did you really find living water? And yet, so often we come to church and this is about all we get out of Jesus. And when we go beyond these walls, he has no place in our life. He has no place in our home life, in our family life, in our routine of life. But he said, because I saw you taking living water with you beyond the walls of a church building, beyond the walls of an hour at Free Chapel, but it began to flow out to hurting people, to Egyptians, to those who are lost, to those who don't know Christ, because you had a heart that said, I can't keep it to myself. I found life, and I see them, and they're lost, and they're broken, and they're going to hell if somebody doesn't reach them. If this book is true, they're going into eternity without God. But I found someone who would not just drink from the well and be content inside the walls, but they would send branch, a vine over the wall into those hurting, dry lives. He ran branches beyond the walls. And God said, because you did that, I'm going to bless you double. You'll have two tribes. None of the other boys, their sons was the tribe, but you get two in your family, Joseph, because you went beyond the walls. Not many wells, but one well. There are not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. There are not many names and gods that we pray to. There's only one name and one God, and His name is Jesus. Would you give Him praise if you believe that? And because you were willing to stretch for the outreach, because you were willing to not just be blessed in here on Sunday morning with living water, but something got a hold of your heart, a compassion for the lost, a compassion outside the walls. There's somebody who's an alcoholic who's waking up in their own vomit this morning. Just outside these walls, there's a young girl, a teenager who's gotten pregnant out of wedlock and she's thinking about aborting that baby. Just outside these walls, maybe within a mile or so from this very campus or the campuses where you're watching this, there's somebody who's suicidal. There's somebody who's on drugs and they can't get any hope and they're thinking about just taking all they can and ending it all. And we have living water, but somebody's got to send a vine beyond these walls. Beyond these walls. They're crying. They're dying. And He said, if you'll do it, I'll bless you on the home front double. I think that we need to understand that. That He'll bless us double portion the more we reach, the more we stretch, the more we say we cannot just be blessed here on Sunday morning. In Acts 19 and 10, it said that they reached all of Asia with the word in the space of 2 years. What in the world? How do you reach a whole nation and a whole continent? They reach all of Asia within the space of two years. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have cameras. They didn't have great ministries with big outreaches. What did it? Fired up Christians who found the well and said, we're going beyond these walls. We cannot just come to church and hear another sermon and hear another sermon and hear another sermon and then leave here beyond these walls and it never change us. It never rearrange us. I don't want to just be an inspirational preacher. And I don't want to just be, there's inspiration, there's information. When I first started, I guess I was wanting to be an inspirational evangelist. And then as I got deeper, a little bit older, I wanted to be an informational preacher. I want to have a lot of content and I want to be informational and inspirational. But really, now at this point in my life, beyond any of that, I want to be transformational. I want God to come and not just get up here and preach another sermon and say a bunch of words. But oh God, transform somebody's life today. Send a vine of living water into somebody's house, somebody's marriage that's drying up on the brink of dying. Oh God, somehow, some way, we've got living water. And if we don't have it, we ought to get it this morning. I found the well, but I can't keep it to myself beyond these walls. They're dying. And God says, when you reach, when you pray for somebody else, when you love somebody else, when you minister to somebody else, when you send a branch beyond these walls, on your job, in the office, in the school, on the campus, there's people all around you. You've grown up in it. You've got the well. You've been in this all of your life. But the joy, ladies and gentlemen, is not just coming to church, but it's when you get so full of living water. That verse that said they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. If people can just come to this church and sit under this ministry and just hear singing and sermons and it changed nothing. I think of that dream that that Pharaoh had that Joseph interpreted, and he saw seven skinny cows and seven fat cows, and the seven skinny cows swallowed the seven fat cows. But there's a strange part of that verse. It said, but the skinny cows did not show it. They did not manifest it. It says, after they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them. And I can't help but wonder to people, do you guys come to church and you just hear another sermon and hear another sermon, but no one would ever know? They never hear you talk about Jesus. They never hear you witness. Does anybody in your family know? Does anything ever change in your life? Or do you just come to church and take it in inside these walls, but when you walk out of here, you turn the same music on, go back to the same attitude, the same spirit, the same unforgiveness, the same lust, the same pride? Come on, church. We're not supposed to be that just in here. We're supposed to have life out there. And something's wrong when we're taking it in, but we look the same. We act the same. God help us. God help us. Run your branches beyond these walls. Everybody say, reach. Reach. When's the last time you witnessed? When's the last time you said to somebody, I want to pray for you? When's the last time you were so full of Jesus that you heard somebody going through hell on the job or in your family and you were bold enough? You were bold enough to not just be a Christian in here this morning, but you were bold enough to have a vine outside these walls, unashamed, unashamed, unashamed to say, yes, I am a Christian and I'm not ashamed. On the college campus, I'm not ashamed. On the job, I'm not ashamed. Around anybody and everybody, famous people or people who have nothing, they need Jesus and they need somebody to be a vine beyond these walls. Clap your hands and give God praise. Get so full of Jesus. Get consumed with reaching, reaching. See, you know what's wrong with the church? I'm going to tell you, if we're careful in the body of Christ, the church will become more ingrown than outgrown. And when we become ingrown, we become like an ingrown toenail. And we just become sore and touchy and fighting. You're ingrown. You're like an ingrown toenail. You're sore all the time. You ever met Christians like that? They're just ticked off and sore all the time. You want to know what's wrong with you? You want to know what's wrong with me when I get like that? I'm ingrown. But the moment that you begin to go back to the mission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the minute you go back to purpose, the minute you go back to destiny and you get your attention off yourself and you get your attention, quit having a pity party and feeling sorry for yourself and just start, well, you know what? I must be going through what I'm going through for a reason. So let me just take a vine and go out here to other hurting people. If you've gone through a divorce, then take that vine and don't let the depression drive you into hopelessness, but throw it over the wall and say, well, let me go find somebody else who's going through it and I'm going to tell them Jesus is the end. Let me find somebody else who needs help. Let me find somebody else going in through chemo and let me throw my vine over that wall and minister to them because I've got living water that'll get me through it. They need it too. I don't want us to be a bunch of ingrown toenails who are sore about everything. More intrigued with streets of gold than earth's alleyways. All about territorial preservation, my position and my ministry and my place. We've got to get back to reaching beyond these walls. His last words, go into all the world. Go, 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 reach, stretch. He never saved you to sit here and just drink from the well the rest of your life and hear sermons and be entertained by a preacher. He saved you so that at some point after you have grown and there's prosperity and blessing and goodness and freedom and joy, you don't have to be perfect, but if you're drinking from the living well, you've got something to offer men and women who don't even know the name, who don't even know the old gospel story, who may know it, but they've never experienced it. If they can taste one sip of living water out there, they'll come running in here. I thought about my mother and the ministries that she does into the rest homes, and they wheel them in the wheelchairs, and those older, feeble, precious senior citizens, many times crippled, many times just months or a year or so away from going into eternity. And every week in 30-something rest homes, it's crazy, 30-something a month, they go in and they preach the gospel. What are they doing? They're reaching beyond these walls. And those feeble people can't come here, but we'll go with living water and tell them there's a land of no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no undertakers, and you're headed for it if you'll drink from this well named Jesus. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. His last word ought to be our first priority. Go. All the lost people on your job. All the lost people. Throw a branch over the walls. Touch and reach somebody else. And God said, if you'll do that, I'll bless your home front double portion. I'll bless your business. I'll bless your family. I'll bless your children. I don't care if you're seeing it right now or not. Just keep doing what God told you to do, and the blessing will come double portion. Everybody shout, double portion. Everybody shout, give me the Joseph blessing on my house. Double portion as I reach beyond these walls. Do you want your business blessed, businessman? Do you want to see businesswoman? Do you want to see God really explode that business? Then use that business. It is your ministry. It is your ministry. And just like I don't approach this pulpit without fasting, without praying, without carrying a burden for days, I can't shake it. I can't sleep on Saturday nights. It's just what I do. You shouldn't approach your job. There's people under the sound of my voice. And the only reason Free Chapel keeps reaching beyond these walls is because of their incredible, faithful giving. It astounds me. It would shock you to know how people take seriously the ministry of giving in this church. How it would astonish some of you who give nothing, some of you who give sporadically and just when you feel like it. There are others who give, I mean, methodically, it's on purpose. They come to church to give. Why? Because it is their ministry. It would shock you how much they give consistently. Why? Because they get it. I can't preach, but I can send the vine beyond the wall. And why did we open another church in Atlanta? Why are you going to Midtown? And the other week when I got out of the car, they had a rap concert going on in the little room right next to us. And two of the guys were out there smoking weed right there. And I get out and I had to walk through the cloud. I'm just telling you the truth. And I took a little breath and praise the Lord, let's keep going. I preach good too. But you know, when you got to go into all the world, and you might get in the middle of a cloud, but it's all right. If the Jesus in you is bigger than the devil in them, you can reach them with living water. You can reach them with the message of the cross. You can reach them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Reach them. Stretch, reach. I'll go down there tonight, and they'll be there by the hundreds. What are we doing? We're reaching. We're reaching. We're reaching beyond these walls. And God says, when you do that, I'll just put a double portion on this place. I'll just fill it up again. You're blessed when you're willing to share with others, Joseph, beyond these walls. You'll never lose by giving. You'll never lose by giving. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when you begin to stretch and reach beyond the walls and actually go after the Egyptians. Joseph was a Jew.
Why are you going down there and blessing those old Egyptians? Why don't you stay inside the wall? Why are you associating with those people?
Notice in that verse that I read the text, it said, because you went beyond the walls. The very next verse said, and the archers shot their bows and arrows at you. In other words, when you start reaching, get ready for the church junkies. Get ready for the self-righteous bunch. Get ready for those nerdy Christians who only talk in Christianese, who can't relate to nobody lost, don't know anybody lost, and don't want to know anybody lost. They're just content to keep drinking from the well, and it's a bless me club, bless me generation. So when you begin to reach beyond the walls, get ready for the arrows to fly and the attacks to come. My daughter, Connor's sitting down here. She's a model. She's beautiful. She takes after me. And really, she got her mother's genes. But she, I mean, and not a play model. I mean, she does amazing in Los Angeles with one of the biggest firms. And she's busy. And she's a full-time student. And she does amazing things. We don't talk about it. But she's one of the greatest Christians that I know. She loves Jesus supremely. Reads her Bible, goes to church. All of her friends are about Jesus, except where she works. That's a Hollywood industry. There's people out there that they don't know nothing about church. And she's God's just put favor on her, and she's getting in with people. She's being who she is. And she's ministering. She's found the well, and she's throwing the branch over the wall, and she's become good friends with Selena Gomez, and she's friends with other people. And I don't want to start naming. I could, though. And the point is, we don't talk about it. But man, she was with some of her friends, and I was so proud of her. I put something up on Instagram about it, and I got ripped. Fume, fume, fish. She got ripped. Called WHORE. All kinds of things, and all she's doing is reaching beyond these walls. Reaching beyond these walls. One of my favorite trips that I've ever gone on as a vacation, besides being with my family, was many, many years ago. I went on a hunting trip in Canada with one of the board members, Don Bryant, and his son, and another guy in the church, Phil Kinsey. And we just had the biggest time. But they took two of their friends. And there's no other way to say it. They were pure heathens. Amen. They good guys, though. I love these men. And it was one of the most wonderful trips I've ever been on, and here's why. When people find, I don't have any friends except Christians. It hit me because of what I do. You ain't gonna see me in the club. You ain't gonna see me. I don't know anybody hardly. I don't meet anybody hardly in my world that's not in church. So when I went on this hunting trip, I'll never forget it. I love these guys. One of them's name, the daddy was named Little Jack, Big Jack, and he had a son named Little Jack. That was their real names, Big Jack and Little Jack. And they were redneck Georgia redneck guys, and they don't go to church, and they were very respectful and stuff. But man, that blankety blank blank. You ever seen people that are good at cussing? I'm talking about good at cussing. They ain't got a Christian will try to cuss and try, and it just don't sound right. But if you're gonna cuss, you need to learn how to do it good. I'm just saying. And these guys were just, it was like breathing to them. Blankety blank, blankety blank, blank. Oh, sorry, preacher. Sorry, preacher. Sorry, preacher. And then we'd have meals, and we were with them a whole week.
I'm telling you, I'm out in the trees with them, and I'm out, and we're hunting bear, and they, one of them would hit blankety blank, 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 blankety blank, 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 and it felt so good to be around a heathen. I love those guys. And I kept up with them, and I'd call them every once in a while. And one Sunday, a few months later, Big Jack came to my office. Susan Page was my secretary then. And she said, "Pastor, somebody's here to see you. And I don't know who he is, but he's here." And I said, "Who is it?" "Big Jack." "Tell Big Jack to come on here. Get out of the way. Come on, Big Jack." He came in, and he said, "I'm sick, and I need prayer. My boy's in trouble. Pray for me." He got on his knees. He asked Jesus. Come on, he asked Jesus. Beyond these walls is where ministry. Some of you are getting lukewarm because you're not reaching. If you could ever get beyond these walls, that's where life is. That's where they're so hungry for what we've got. Be careful how you criticize people who go beyond these walls. We need to get beyond the denominational walls. I'm almost done, but listen. We need to get beyond the walls of denominationalism. Baptists or Methodists or Pentecostal. We don't have the luxury of disunity anymore. We need to come together, all of us, body of Christ, all of us. And you may not like my style, and I may not prefer your style, but if we're preaching Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the only life, then we need to link up arm in arm, and let's win this world, because Jesus is coming soon. The trumpet is going to sound, and those who are not ready are going to be left. They're going to be left. There are Josephs all over this building. And God is saying, "I'll bless your dream double if you'll make a commitment beyond these walls." The only reason the sun rose this morning is because the church is facing an unfinished task. It's all about the lost, the perishing. They're headed for a famine. God forgive us if we have living water. And some of us used to have it, but we need to get refilled this morning. You've forgotten what you've got. You've let the cares of this life choke out the living water. Keep reaching. Keep dreaming. The archers will shoot, but God said, "I'll give you double." Let me close with this. But I don't want this church to ever be the old school Christian spirit. The old school Christian that says, "You're lucky that I just come to church." If that's your attitude, you're an old school Christian. And you're going to miss the joy of reward in eternity. I want to close this message this way. Joseph not only had two sons that received the double portion, but I read it again last night. 5 generations later, there is a guy by the name of Naboth who had, the world would call it a green thumb. He was not blessed because he had a green thumb. The Bible said Naboth had a vineyard that was exceedingly prosperous. And it just so happened it was right beside King Ahab's summer palace. And King Ahab, the king of all Israel, would come to his summer palace and he would look at his yard, and he had all kinds of maintenance crews out there supposed to keep his gardens up and his place beautiful. And he would look over at his neighbor, Naboth, and Naboth's vineyard was so blessed, so mighty, so prosperous that he looked in envy from his summer palace at Naboth, and he thought, "What a green thumb that guy has." He didn't have a green thumb. He was five generations down from Joseph. Joseph was his great, 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 great grandfather. And that blessing of, because you've reached beyond these walls with living water, it will always bring double portion on the home front. And five generations later, after Joseph is dead, here's a guy named Naboth. When the king came and said, sell me your vineyard, he said, I cannot sell my inheritance. I have a spiritual inheritance that was passed to Manasseh and Ephraim, and from them to their children, and to their children, and to their children. And five generations later, I'm telling you, sir, my spiritual inheritance is not for sale. I don't care how much gold and fame you offer me. This is my inheritance. And I pray to God that we're living in such a way that we are going beyond the walls, and as a result, the blessing is coming on our children and our children's children. And God says, I'll take care of them if you'll keep stretching beyond these walls. I want more than another service this morning. I want, when you leave these walls for the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the well of living water, to go with you like a vine beyond these walls into the same marriage, into the same family, into the same job, into the same situations that you're dealing with, but you don't keep your faith in God and your praise and your devotions in here. This is about all you get. Do you read the Bible beyond these walls? Do you ever spend time in prayer? Do you ever weep and worship beyond these walls? Do you have any devotion time? Or is this it? Is this it? You found the well, you know you're going to heaven, and that's it? Maybe Jesus really wants to come to your house and get beyond these walls. You feel relieved when you sit in here. You feel relieved when you hear a preacher preaching. There's hope, there's faith. But God says, I want a vine to go beyond these walls. I want to see you in prayer and devotion this week. I want to see you crack open that Bible. I want to see you seek my face. I want to see you listening to some worship. I want to see you coming after me beyond these walls.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.